I'm going to need this. Do I? Okay, I'll be done. Amen. Luke chapter 18. The message this morning, I'd like to preach in two parts, Lord willing. First one today, just an introduction actually to this parable, and then finish it up next Sunday. But I do covet your prayers. Feeling kind of ill this morning, I don't know why, but I do covet your prayers that God give me strength to preach it. But I do also want to explain that I come to you this morning not as a teacher, but as a student, not as one that's mastered this subject, but one that is still learning it and trying to apprehend it just like you are. It's the subject of prayer, what the Lord speaks of here in Luke chapter 18. And it's certainly a subject which we are all very familiar with. And our text is surely one which we've often read and heard preached upon over the years that we've been saved. Most of us here this morning, I know, being saved for years. And yet, regardless of how familiar our text may be, or how acquainted we become with its blessed subject, there will always be an element of divine mystery and wonder surrounding this great subject of prayer. One which will always keep our hearts filled with great humility and amazement. Speaking for myself, I doubt that I've ever preached on a subject more often than that of prayer. When I look back over my notes and over the subjects that I've preached upon and my messages over the last 27, 28 years, prayer is one which I've preached more on than any other subject. And yet I must humbly confess that in many ways I remain yet in great ignorance and darkness concerning its effectual power and truth. There's a mystery about prayer that just overwhelms me. Of course, that is true with all subjects which deal with God, the things of Christianity, but more so with prayer. And speaking on this great subject, I've quoted it before, and I'm not afraid to quote it again. The great reformer Martin Luther once said, "It is a tremendously hard thing to pray aright. Yea, it is verily the science of all sciences, even to pray so that the heart may approach God with all gracious confidence and say, 'Our Father which art in heaven.'" End of quote. Martin Luther, that great reformer, was greatly humbled by prayer. And so should we. Because it is a hard thing to pray aright. Of all things that we know the most about, we boast knowing most about prayer and Bible reading, and yet those are two subjects which we often neglect. Too often in our hectic schedule, we don't read as often as we should. And prayer is often neglected because of the hectic of our lifestyles or just simply the negligence that we show towards it on a daily basis. And yet we know that prayer is vitally important for the Christian's spiritual well-being and comfort. And we know Bible reading is just as important as prayer is. And yet those are two areas which we often find ourselves neglecting. And yet when we do read God's Word and the Spirit of God begins to open up its truths to our hearts, how overwhelmed we are with happiness and joy that God has spoken to us. And when we pray and we know that God is hearing our prayers, how we feel so comforted and strengthened and overwhelmed by prayer and the blessings it brings upon our lives. And yet so quickly we neglect it again. Lord, teach us to pray. Was not a simple desire to learn the mechanics or the rhetorics of prayer. Teach me how to say those words. Teach me how to be able to express such wonderful expressions in prayer. Teach me the rhetoric of prayer. That wasn't their desire when they asked that question to our Lord. But beloved, it was a longing to know more of His effectual power, both in their own hearts and lives, as well as in their intercessions for others, as they had seen and witnessed in Christ's life. They heard Him prayer, yes. And yes, they were certainly overwhelmed by His words and His expressions and His rhetoric. And yet, I believe that their desire to know how to pray came because they seen prayer being fulfilled in His life. They seen the effectual power of it in His life. And oh, I'm sure that He who is the only mediator between God and men, I'm sure that the majority of His prayers were spent in interceding for others. And when they heard our Lord's prayer and the answer to those prayers before their eyes, being revealed before their eyes, I'm sure that the disciples say, "Oh, that we might pray in such a way that it's effectual as it is in your life. Teach us to pray like you pray. So that when we pray, we feel and know it's an effectual power in our own lives, but also when you pray for others, that we might know something of the power of intercessory prayer." I like what George Whitefield said about intercessory prayer, when he said, "Oh, intercession is a most delightful exercise. How does it sweeten and purify the heart?" End of quote. And beloved, that's something true about intercessory prayer. I found it even more true now that I'm working up at Holiday Hill, when I go to so many rooms and some of the people, the first thing they ask me when I go into their room, "Would you pray with me?" And so I'll sit down, and since the administrator there has been so gracious to allow me to do that, I've asked permission since I'm being paid and I'm on the job. He said, "Certainly, you're qualified to do such a thing," he said. So I come into the room and they say, "Would you please pray with me and for me?" And so when I sit down and pray with them, I find myself praying often in many rooms, and it is encouraging to me to simply be able to pray for others. Some of our prayers are so filled with self. "Lord, I need this," and "Lord, I want this," and "Lord, I have need of this." But to pray as our Lord did for others, there is something sweet and purifying about the fact that we can pray for others, and it's a blessing, and it's a great encouragement, especially for those for whom we're praying. And so prayer is a vital aspect of our life. Yet the true believer must be exercised in every facet of prayer. Praying always, Paul said, with all prayer. Those are the words of Paul in Ephesians 6:18. Praying always, yes, praying constantly, always. Always have a mindset of prayer, but with all prayer. Now that all prayer, meaning prayers of every sort, all kinds of prayer, which God has appointed and designed for the believer's well-being and strength. Learn how to pray in every situation. That's what all prayer means. For example, the boldness of prayer before the throne of grace in time of need. Hebrews 4:16, "Let us come boldly before the throne of grace in time of need." That's a boldness of prayer before the throne of grace. We need to learn how to do that. There's a lot of facets of prayer, a lot of aspects of prayer, and we as believers should be exercised well in all those areas. The penitence prayer in the time of confession, Psalm 51. We should be well exercised in the penitence prayer. "God, against Thee and Thee only have I sinned and done this evil in Thy sight, that Thou mightest be justified." The prayer for wisdom under manifold temptations in James chapter 1. "If any of you lack wisdom concerning the trying of your faith, let him ask of God, who giveth liberally and upbraideth not." The prayer of intercession for sinners, for laborers, and for the sick. Pray that the Lord of the harvest send out laborers. "If any is sick amongst you, let him call for the elders and let them pray." The prayer against anxiety and care, Philippians chapter 4. "You shouldn't care for anything but by prayer, let all our supplications and requests be made known unto God." So you see, there's a lot of aspects of prayer, and that's what Paul meant when he said praying always, a constant mind of prayer. It doesn't mean we have to be on our knees 24/7. It just means a constant mind, a constant state of prayer, and that with all prayers, being able to pray in every situation. "Lord, I need the prayer of the penitent. I need repentance, Lord. I need the prayer of being able to pray for wisdom in time of trials. I need to pray and intercede for sinners." Beloved, there's a lot of aspects about prayer that we've got to learn, and God places us providentially in different circumstances of life to teach us how to pray aright. And it's a lesson we never fully learn in this life. we'll never graduate from it until we meet the Lord in heaven. I like Sweet Hour of Prayer. One of them verses say, when we reach glory, Sweet Hour of Prayer, we'll say farewell to Sweet Hour of Prayer. We'll have no need of prayer in heaven because He to whom we pray to is present with us, in us, and through us throughout eternity. But until that day, prayer is what draws us closest to Him. And so, beloved, we learn in every aspect of life how to exercise prayer in the right way. These verses and others prove that the believer must be exercised and disciplined in all facets and aspects of prayer if we're to fully obtain the rich blessings which come from prayer. And in our text, we're taught yet another aspect of prayer, which is very fitting for our present need as a church, namely persevering in prayer under great opposition. So our Lord begins to speak a parable here about a woman coming to a judge constantly, and he gets tired of her and says, well, I'm going to answer her request because otherwise she won't stop asking me. And so the Lord uses that parable. So will not God avenge you as well? She has an adversary that keeps provoking her. And she's getting weary of that adversary. So she goes to the judge, and knowing that he's the only one that can do something, you must do something about this. But she doesn't go just simply once or twice or three times. She's constantly before him. And this is an unjust judge who regardeth not God nor man. He answers her prayer. And so the Lord said, will God not do even more than that to them who come, His elect, who come daily before Him and seeking His face? And so we see the Lord teaches us the aspect, the exercise, the duty of persevering in prayer under great adversity. Verse 1 of chapter 18. And He spake a parable unto them to this end. You'll only find those words in the King James, which is very fitting. He spake a parable unto them to this end, for this purpose, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Beloved, the goal or purpose of this parable was to instruct every true believer on the importance and urgent need to persevere in prayer, lest we faint. Especially under adversity. And we are more prone to faint under adversity than any other time. When we're being tempted or when our faith is being tried, we need wisdom, according to James. When we're feeling under the sense and spirit of guilt for our sins, we pray the penitence prayer. But when we're facing opposition from our adversaries, our heart begins to faint. So therefore, our Lord says the key to avoiding a fainting heart is praying. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. Faint meaning fail in heart, be weary. And I don't know about you, but I've sensed that temptation over the last few weeks and months to be weary, to grow faint in heart because of adversity, opposition. Beloved, though knowledge of God is vital, I think we'll all agree to that, and essential for the believer's spiritual well-being and comfort, and it's necessary for our praying aright. I believe we'll all agree with that. Knowledge of God is important for that. Yet our Lord would say it is prayer alone that keeps our hearts from fainting, and that must be persevering. Paul said, knowledge puffeth up. If all we have is knowledge of God, it puffeth up. And yet knowledge is important if we're going to pray aright. I think and hope and pray and believe that we all understand that. If we don't have a right knowledge of God, we're not going to pray properly. Yet it's prayer itself which keeps our heart from fainting, not just obtaining knowledge of God. Read all the books we can get our hands upon. Learn all the things about theology. And yet if we don't pray, all that knowledge is going to help nothing when it comes to fainting hearts under adversity. We need to know how to pray. And Luther was right. It is a very difficult, tremendously hard thing to do to pray aright. And by that meaning, to pray in such a fashion that we know that we've approached God and God hears our prayers.
true on one side, like an old Puritan said, praying for the believer is like breathing air. It comes natural because we're the new creature. That's true. And yet we find ourselves as we grow in grace and knowledge that sometimes prayer is the most difficult thing we can find to do. Prayer is the most difficult thing we can achieve in this life. And I mean a prayer that we know is effectual. And so that's why our Lord uses those words, and not to faint. We don't pray. Always pray. We'll find our hearts failing. We'll be growing weary. So our Lord says, men ought always to pray. He Himself was our greatest example, was He not? Mark chapter 1:35, "And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, He went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed." The Son of God thought it necessary to rise way before dark to find a solitary place to pray before God. Mark chapter 6:46, speaking of Christ, He departed into a mountain to pray when He sent everyone away. He sent them all away and then He went into a mountain to pray. Again, solitary. Seeking prayer, quiet time with the Lord, praying. Luke chapter 6, verse 12, speaking of our Lord, He went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. All night in prayer. If you figure if there was somebody that walked amongst men who wasn't in need of a lot of prayer, it would be the Lord Himself, the Son of God, who knew the mind and will of God coming from the heart of God. Why would He see a need to pray? And yet as He walked amongst men, He would be our example, showing us the necessity of prayer. We must be constantly in a mindset or in a state of prayer. And again, that doesn't mean 24/7 on our knees, but whenever the possibility arrives or the opportunity arrives, we should be praying all the time. When we meet together for fellowship, we should never depart without praying. When we find an opportunity to pray for others, we should pray. When we find time to pray, we should stop for a few minutes and pray. We should constantly be looking for opportunities to ever be approaching the throne of grace to bring our petitions before God. That's what our Lord's showing us. Prayer was much more than merely an essential part of His life as He walked amongst men, but the very definition and essence of His life. It defined Him. He was a man of prayer. I say that because so often we hear, well, that was an essential part of His life. No. It defined His life. It was the very essence of His life. You know, many will first extinguish all their ideas and their methods and their plans before resorting to prayer as a last-ditch effort. You ever hear that expression? Well, the only thing we can do now is pray.
Yeah.
It always sent chills up my back.
Yeah.
What do you mean the only thing that we can do now is pray? We should have been praying all along. And all the while they're proclaiming that prayer was being exercised. Oh, we're praying, but let's extinguish all our plans and methods and efforts first. And once those all fail, well, then the last ditch effort is let's just leave it up to prayer. Well, I can't do anything else. I've just turned it over to God and all we can do now is pray. You ever hear that? I've been guilty of saying that earlier. Well, I've extinguished everything I can do and now the only thing left now is pray. Our Lord didn't live a life like that. He was constantly praying. You know? And I know there's certain things that we have to beseech God about and ask Him about, but if our mind is in a constant state of prayer and praying and conversation and communion with God, beloved, we're not always going to have to say, well, we need to pray about this. Even though there are times we need to pray about certain things specifically. If our mind's in a constant state of prayer, beloved, we're going to be spiritually alert and aware and ready for a lot of circumstances and situations that approach us in life, and we're not going to have to stop and say, whoa, I didn't know this was coming. We're going to have to pray about this. Christ always had prayer in the forefront of his life. It was the flagship which led him in everything he did, everything he said, every decision he made, every miracle he made. It was prayer. We always put that last. Prayer defined Christ's entire life. That's why he says men ought always, always to pray. Every opportunity, everywhere. You know, when I was looking over this again, I really felt convicted because I don't do that all the time. I don't look for opportunities to pray. If they jump up and snatch me, so to say, then I'll pray. But I don't look for opportunities to pray. That's what he's saying. Use every opportunity. Look for opportunities to pray. That will keep you in a constant state of praying. Let me pray with you. Can we pray? Let us pray. Being ever in prayer, praying always with all prayers, he walked amongst men and before God. Thus prayer preserved his heart from failing. He said, wait a minute, Christ couldn't have had a failing heart. Well, you remember Gethsemane? Did not he pray until his sweat drops or his sweat was mixed with blood? He prayed so fervently. You see, I believe the Lord would have never been able to make it through the Garden of Gethsemane if prayer had not defined his life before that. Because he was just as much man as God. Amen? If prayer defines our life, beloved, that is exactly what's going to sustain us in the Christian life. It's going to keep our hearts from failing. And beloved, to live for Christ in this wicked generation, the dangers of failing hearts are everywhere. I was speaking to someone this last week and I said, the one thing that grieves me the most about all this, what we're going through, is the lack of commitment and devotion from those who profess to know Christ. Where's the commitment and the devotion to Christ? They all seek their own, not the things of Christ. And you know, beloved, if we were more, if prayer defined our life more than what it does, we would see more humility amongst believers, because who could profess to be constantly in a state or a heart of prayer and not be humbled by the fact that I'm constantly in God's presence? Wouldn't that be humbling to us? Wouldn't that reflect some kind of humility in us because we're constantly in the divine presence through prayer? The more I'm around God in prayer, the more humbled I'm going to be in all my actions, right? Beloved, men's hearts rarely grow faint overnight. Some things in life kind of shock us and catch us by surprise, but rarely do our hearts grow faint overnight. But let persecutions, trials, and afflictions increase and continue at a slow pace, constantly. That begins to wear on us. And that begins to make us weary. Beloved, that's why I believe a lot of times, like in Job's situation, but a lot of times, God allows trials and afflictions to appear to be non-stopping. When does it end? Because that increases not only our faith, but increases our prayer. It's a lot easier to take blunt force immediately than to take somebody constantly hammering on you. You know what I mean? Because eventually it gets wearisome. That's how we grow faint. The trials keep coming and keep coming and keep coming and keep coming. And the heart begins to grow faint, slowly wearing the believer down.
That's why he says we ought always to pray. Men ought always to pray, every place, all the time, on every occasion, whenever possible. Pray and not to faint. Beloved, if we have that mindset of always praying with all prayers, beloved, we're going to be more fit, more able to serve Christ consistently rather than this up and down. We're going to be able to serve Him consistently. And sure, there's going to be circumstances in life, trials and afflictions that come that sometimes kind of knock us off our feet for a minute. But because we've got a mindset that's always praying, we're praying always, we're going to be able to rebound a lot quicker. Because the first thing we're going to resort to is not our methods and our plans and our devices. We're going to resort to prayer because we've learned that prayer is the key. He spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray, not to faint. To this end, this is why he gives us this parable. And next week I want to kind of look in detail more at this parable, because it deals with persevering in prayer under adversity. She says, I've got adversity. Somebody is oppressing me. I have opposition. I can't deal with it. You're the only one that can. If you don't deal with it, it's not going to be taken care of. And I'm not going to give up. I'm going to keep asking you. I'm going to keep coming before you. And so he uses that parable of an unjust judge and says, God is much better than that to His elect. And beloved, we have a lot of adversaries. And sometimes God says, come to me. Well, I did. Come to me again. I did. Come to me again. How much do you want it? Are you ready to persevere in prayer? Beloved, our Heavenly Father teaches us how to pray. Isn't that a wonderful thing? He puts us in circumstances that teaches us how to pray. If we was left up to ourselves to learn how to pray, we would never pray. So God puts us in afflictions. He puts us in trials. He puts us under conviction. He gives us these temptations and these trials. He gives us all these certain different circumstances of life to teach us all the aspects of prayer so that we with by praying always, with all prayers, we can make our supplications made known unto God. And beloved, nothing pleases God more than when His children pray aright. Amen? Pray aright. That gets quick answers to our prayers and encourages us and strengthens us because we're communicating with God. Prayer is communicating with God. It's the closest we draw to God in this life, said William Law. And if prayer is communicating with God, God teaches us how to communicate as we ought. And so God may God give us grace to always be praying in every situation, whenever the opportunity avails itself. Let us look for opportunities to pray, especially intercessory prayer. It's wonderful. May God give us the spirit of prayer. May the Spirit of God move mightily in our hearts at Grace Baptist Church and help us during these times to be in prayer. Coleman needs the Lord. It needs the gospel. Sinners need to be saved. The more and more now that I'm back out into the world working and working around people up at Holiday Hill, the ignorance people have of Christ and salvation and what true Christianity is, it's heartbreaking. It's heartbreaking. And yet they don't see it. They don't understand it. They don't grasp it. And yet people still come up because they notice. They still come up and say, would you pray? Oh, what's her name's in the hospital? Pray for her. Oh, my son needs some prayer. So people are they're still, to me, that gives me hope. And I tell them I'll pray for their son. Yes, their family. I want to see them help, but I want to see them saved more than everything else. But beloved, may God give us here at Grace Baptist Church the spirit of prayer so that our hearts won't fail during these rough and terrible times we're facing, and that God would strengthen us and that we would be known as a church that prays. Amen. May God give us grace. We ought always to pray, not to faint. Next week we'll look more closely at that because it's worth looking at. It really is. So may God give us grace and mercy. Thank you for your patience. Let's pray. Our Father, again, Father, I realize that I have in all reality done very little justice to this great subject. And yet how I pray that the Spirit of God would take these words, Lord, of Thy book, and Father, may He, stir in our hearts, encourage us, excite our hearts to pray. Lord, we are a people, a nation, a church in great need of Thee. Thy word said if Thy people would humble themselves and pray. Lord, I pray that God, You would grant us that spirit of prayer. Lord, we can't work this up. Spirit of God, who is the spirit of intercession and prayer, Lord, who helps us in our prayers with groanings and utterings, if He doesn't assist us with divine aid, Lord, we'll never have a burden to pray. We need Thy Spirit, Lord, to fall upon us. God, give us a spirit of prayer. Lord God, that we might not only know of its comforts, but know of its effectual power, not only in our own lives, but Lord, as we intercede for others, oh God, Lord, help us, we pray. Spirit of God, forgive us for grieving You as we have done in the past. Help us, we pray. Please, hear our prayers, not on any merits of our own, but on the merits of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who died on Calvary and suffered in our place. Oh, Lord, we pray, intercede on our behalf, even at this very moment, as You're sitting on the right hand of the Father. Oh, we pray, help us, Lord, that we might have a spirit of true, humble, fervent, faithful, believing prayer, Father. God, I pray, bless us in this area. We pray that we might exalt Christ, that we might see the advancement of His kingdom in this community, that all things might be done for His glory. Lord, we love You and we thank You for all things. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.